from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint.
I'm Barry, and I am freaking tired.
We're both beat. The first weekend of insanity has come to a close, and our bodies feel it.
Yeah, I mean, Halloween Horror Nights 28 has kicked off, and opening weekend is finally coming to an end. It was opening night was nuts, and we will go into that, all of that, the houses, the scare zones. We got to check out an RIP tour, got to check out some of the drinks and stuff and snacks. So we will have all that and more. But up first, Busch Gardens Tampa.
Made an announcement this week. Luckily, everything non-Halloween Horror Nights. I mean, there's been announcements here and there of smaller miscellaneous things, but one of the big announcements that we wanted to touch on really quick before we dive into opening weekend of Halloween Horror Nights was Tigress was announced for Busch Gardens Tampa, and Busch Gardens Tampa themselves mentioned that it was probably the worst kept secret in Busch Gardens history. The rumor of them getting the premiere Skyrocket 2 came to fruition. It'll be called Tigress, and it'll be coming in spring. They said spring, so
Which can mean all the way up till June, early June.
So so they're pushing this as their new spring edition for 2019.
This isn't really a surprise. This has been almost expected for the last 2 years, because it was pretty well known that they had made a deal to buy three of these rides.
And yeah.
One went into Busch Gardens Williamsburg, one went into SeaWorld San Diego, and it was pretty much the assumption was that Tampa was going to get the third one. And it came to light, especially from the moment that they got rid of, what, Tidal Wave, that this thing was coming. So
the footprint, the location, people started, you know, kind of just putting two to two together that this was, it was going to be a fairly small footprint coaster, and it was going to be a coaster, and lo and behold, we're getting their third premiere Skyrocket 2, which I'm kind of excited about it. There's a lot of people that aren't excited about it, but I think I think the Skyrocket two model coasters from Premiere look like a fun little addition, so I'm kind of excited.
Yeah, it's a fun little addition. It gets another coaster in the park. I mean, the park has a lot of different kinds of coasters to begin with, and this gets another coaster in the park, and it goes in an area that's you know, you had two water rides. Well, really, almost all three water rides are like right near each other in that park. And Tidal Wave, I mean, it really wasn't doing much anymore. I mean, its popularity definitely had waned, and it's not like at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, they have Escape from Pompeii, so they're like, you know, Shoot the Chutes, big raft ride, big drop, you know, water drop ride is themed out, really. I mean, it's got great theming to it. Tidal Wave is just sort of it didn't really have any theme to it, and this, you know, goes in to tie with, you know, some of the theming in Jungalov with having it being Tigress, so having it be tiger related. And I mean, it's a good addition. And then the big thing that also came out of this press announcement was a teaser for 2020,
and I think they announced Tigress, and this outshadowed that already. The president of Busch Gardens, he came out and mentioned that today we're going to do a hybrid announcement, and he kind of put an emphasis on the word hybrid. And then he kind of, to make a long story short, he talked about Gwazi. And then he mentioned how Gwazi's past has been pretty rocky. Again, you know, putting two and two together, hybrid and rocky. The big rumor for Gwazi and what everybody wants is for Rocky Mountain Construction to come in and overhaul Gwazi, which apparently, from what he was saying, this confirms it. I don't know how much they're going to tear down Gwazi, what this is going to consist of, but it looks like we're getting the Gwazi Rocky Mountain Construction makeover in 2020.
Yeah, I mean, whether we get like a more, you know, they said more details in the coming months, so whether we get an announcement, they may do something at IAPA here in November. Or the fact that, too, this thing, I imagine, is going to start construction probably spring of next year. I mean, it takes when they do these types of conversions, it can take like a year and a half to, especially with Gwazi, where from what some people have reported, I mean, a lot of the wood is going to have to be replaced.
Yeah, and I mean, just look at Mean Streak and Steel Vengeance. That took a good. They started construction on that in the middle of the previous operations year.
Yeah, I mean, albeit there, they do have to deal more with weather issues.
Yeah,
at Cedar Point, and but on the other hand, with the conversion from Mean Streak, you know, they took out of a lot of wood and, you know, replaced it with different structure, but they still used a lot of Mean Streak's original structure. And, you know, there's, like we said, there's been talk back and forth about how much of Gwazi's structure is still reusable. So,
yeah, and I thought the other night, I was like, wouldn't that be hilarious if they just went in and completely leveled Gwazi and just built like a new Rocky Mountain Construction coaster from
that's one idea that's been talked about. You know,
I wouldn't put it past them,
because I mean, one of the most expensive things is with building a coaster, especially a wooden coaster, is all the footers. So the question is, you know, are they going to take out all the majority of the wood and start from scratch? And just reuse all the footers. So I mean, it's all we know is it's coming, and they felt, you know, it's obviously a done deal, and they're teasing it. You know, we knew that Rocky Mountain for 2019, pretty much all their stuff is overseas, but you know, it'd been talked about that 2020 though there was going to be some American stuff coming up, and looks like this is one of the U.S. projects that they'll be doing for 2020.
Yep. So I'm excited. It'll be fantastic no matter what comes out of it, as long as it's Rocky Mountain Construction, to have an RMC pretty much right in our backyard. So between the Premier Skyrocket next year with Tigris and this, Busch Gardens looking to really be the coaster capital of Florida, and this will easily put them up there. So
yeah, and Tigris is a great addition, and like you said, with you know, whatever they do, what they do with Gwazi in 2020, they are the coaster capital of Florida. So I feel like that's sort of the direction they're trying to go here, with sort of to emphasize their diverse range of coasters that this park will have. So
yeah, so I'm excited. All right.
To the main event.
Yeah. Halloween Horror Nights 2028 has kicked off at Universal Studios Florida. 10 houses, 5 scare zones, and we've already been through it all.
Yeah, I mean we were invited to, for the first time by Universal, to their media party on opening night, but we had planned all along to do, I mean, both of us, you know, I had taken the day off from work. You got off from work early. We had planned all along for months now to do Stay and Scream, so we could be, you know, some of the first people through the Stranger Things house.
So, yeah.
So even though we were gonna do the media party, and we pretty much knew we were gonna get to go do every house, we decided let's still do Stay and Scream because we wanted to see Stranger Things before everybody else. We also wanted to see how the crowds would be coming out for this, and
we saw them.
I mean, we were lucky enough to figure out where we were supposed to line up, because it's with Stay and Scream at Finnegan's, it has changed this year, because now there are dedicated queues for the houses that are opening early. So there was actually a dedicated queue for Stranger Things and for Poltergeist.
Yeah, they had individual like barricade walls, one for Poltergeist and one for Stranger Things. And me and you got there at what, 5?
Yeah, I mean, well, we walked in, I think we walked in a little bit before 5.
Yeah.
It was, first off, we get there, there was a line all the way back to, almost back to Louis. I think it went back to Louis after we had gotten in line, which I never experienced before, going into that early Stay in Scream Zone. So we had to wait in line just to get into a long line just to get into the Stay in Scream. And then we get in, we look around. One of the things, you know, they aren't just having Finnegan's open for Stay in Scream. They're actually opening early the Halloween Horror Nights Mega Bar that's in the Transformers extended queue, and they're also opening the Benny's Burgers and Donuts and Waffles tents, which are, you know, have themed sort of the Stranger Things with the different the donuts and the fudge dipped waffles, and then Benny's Burgers is one of the things from Stranger Things. So they open those early. You know, Finnegan's, you can't go in and eat during Stay and Scream. You basically can get in line to get a drink at the bar, and the line pretty much went outside of Finnegan's.
Yeah, we and then that's when things really started to get crazy after that, after we had baked in the sun.
Yeah, I mean, once we found out you need a line up here, we got in line, and then as more and more people figured out where you were supposed to go, more and more people got in line, and more, and more, to the point that, you know, we post on social media, we couldn't see the back of the queue anymore. And apparently it from what some other people, it had gone, because they have you line up on the other side of Finnegan's next to Battery Park, and I guess apparently it had reached the end of the street there and I guess started going around the other side from what some people said.
And it stretched back past, I mean, almost to Fast and Furious. And they finally at 5:45 they opened up the gates, and of course the Stranger Things side was massive. And for those of you watching on the YouTube live stream, I have a picture of the mass of people heading to Stranger Things. And I've been going to Halloween Horror Nights. I told several people this over the weekend since number four, and I've never seen anything like this. An opening day, I've never seen a Stay in Scream like this. It was insane.
No, I mean, I've been going for 13 years, and this is, you know, the craziest opening night I've ever seen.
Yeah,
and that mass of humanity just going in to get into that line was crazy. We were lucky. We were pretty close to the front part of the line, but even then, it took us from the time they opened to the time we got out of the maze, it was like a half an hour. But there were some people who went to Stay and Scream that night who waited like some people who waited two and a half hours. Who were there for Stay and Scream.
Yeah. and they stayed.
They stayed, and so I will say I did experience Stay and Scream again today for Finnegan's, and things are much more organized. It's always the issue with opening weekend. You know, ops only gets that one rehearsal with team members now. And team members are a little bit more orderly and sort of understand things more than your average guest. So, you know, and also opening night is the first time they do Stay in Scream. So, I definitely noticed a difference Sunday, where things were a lot more organized. They were telling people where you needed to go. And they've definitely, you know, I think they've understood now we're going to have these crowds and then we're going to have a ton of people doing Stay and Scream. And they've sort of, they've definitely feels like they figured out better how to deal with it. But we got to do Stranger Things. We got to go through it twice that night. And, we might as well start with, we can start with this house since we're already talking about it. It is visually and set design one of the most screen accurate, impressive IP houses they've done.
I can, years past, I've been so battered and abused with IP houses, and I'm a huge fan of The Walking Dead, and the Walking Dead house just kind of went downhill for me over time, and I've been so beat down by IP houses over the past few years, and this year, we'll get to it later. Poltergeist, Stranger Things, they've breathed new life into me this year and given me new hope for the future of intellectual properties at Halloween Horror Nights, because Stranger Things, like you just worded, it's one of the most, the set design, the characters, everything with that house was phenomenal. I was very pleasantly surprised with the Stranger Things house, and it deserves all the long waits that it's getting right now because it is a great house. I loved it.
Yeah, it's a great house. There are definite real scares in that house. Needless to say, for those of you who've seen season one, the Demogorgon is really the only monster in season one. So there is a lot of Demogorgons in that house. In different kinds of Demogorgons, and when you go into like the buyer's living room, it looks like the buyer's living room. It doesn't look like they're trying to, like, sometimes you do go into some of these IP houses and they sort of match what you've seen on TV or film. This thing looks like you're walking through a set, and just so many great pieces that in the scare actor casting was like spot on. They've just really outdid themselves this year with that house. Is it the best house? I don't know. I mean, it's definitely, we're not really going to rank the houses tonight. I mean, if I had to, I would say probably maybe in the top half of my rankings. But really good, and we can't emphasize enough. If you can do Stay and Scream,
do
it. First off, get to Finnegan, the Stay and Scream section early. And then get in line, for Stranger Things. This is obviously if you don't have Express. The other option is you're just gonna have to wait till the end of the night unless you want to wait for 2.5 hours. And we've consistently seen 2.5-3 hour waits every single night this opening weekend.
Yeah, I've been kind of I've been kind of studying the wait times for Stranger Things all weekend, and it seems like the typical in the middle of the night 10, 11, 9, 10, 11 o'clock when the heat of the event is in full force and Stranger Things is at its peak, you're talking a 2, maybe 2.5 hour wait. But if you wait towards the end of the night, I've noticed it been getting down to 75, 80, 90 minutes. So do Stranger Things really early or really late, because that front area of the park just gets hammered at the start of the event.
Yeah, I mean, this year it really is. I mean, that front end of the park, those four houses, plus, I mean, you can sort of count Halloween, but not as much. But those four houses that are all right next to each other, it's Stranger Things, it's Carnival Graveyard, it's Scary Tales, it's Poltergeist. Those houses are getting hammered, and I can't recommend enough. And also, if you do Stay and Scream and you're going again, you've got like a frequent fare pass, you do Stay and Scream and you don't want to do Stranger Things, then do Poltergeist. And you will be able to hit Poltergeist, Scary Tales, and Carnival Graveyard like one right after another with hardly any wait. So
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be the hard house to get. There always, every year, there's a house that is hard, and it's been a while since we've had a property. It's been basically since around the beginning of the first couple years of Walking Dead that we've had a property that an IP here that is really in you know, at the height of pop culture popularity right now, and Stranger Things is really very popular right now, and it's very popular with some people who normally wouldn't come to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
So this is the thing that's dragging them in, and so, you know, it's going to be a high demand thing. If you, and even if you have Express, you might want to watch for certain times of the night, because we've seen the Express line get up to 50 minutes, almost an hour for the Express line. So, but we liked it. You know, we, right after we did that, we got to go to the media night event, the opening night. They always have a media party and event. And, this was Clint's first time. I've been able to go, thanks to someone else. And, so, I mean, what did you think about being able to see the party and where they do the big presentation of introducing the houses and the scare zones?
I really liked it. I like how they kind of, for the Halloween Horror Nights media event, they kind of turn it into a party, you know. They kind of invite all the media out, and there's food. You get to sample some of the food from the event. They had the waffles, and they had the drinks. They
Christmas
had everything out.
Cupcakes.
Yeah, you're dying over that Christmas light cupcake, aren't you? I think. Yeah, they had the Christmas light cupcake, so they, you know, they have the food from the event for the media there to try. And they have then they have the. And I'm not going to get their names right now. They had pretty much the creators of Halloween Horror Nights. I'll simplify it. The brains behind Halloween Horror Nights.
Blake and Charles Gray and Patrick Brailliard.
Thank you. They all came out and they broke down every single. You know, they had all these little mini displays themed after each haunted house and scare zone, and they came out and they. They talked about the event, how big it is this year, how it's the biggest ever, and then they kind of broke down each scare zone in a haunted house, and then they had a little Q&A session afterwards, and they let some of the media ask questions to them, and it was really neat. It was really cool to be part of something like that, you know. And then the most exciting part was the RIP tour. After the media party was over, everybody split up into groups, and we went on one of the RIP tours, and they plowed us through all 10 houses, all 5 scare zones, and Academy of Villains in one night. It was insane. Our bodies were hurting at the end of the night, but it was worth every minute of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was really cool to experience the RIP tour. I've gotten to do it one other time. It's definitely, it's different. I mean, you're on a guided tour. Your tour guides, before you go to different scare zones and houses, they talk about some of the things behind the creation of those houses. You know, I mean, you know, it's usually for normally, I think, around a 4-hour tour that it takes for them to hit everything.
Yeah.
Our tour is a little different because we were, you know, filming stuff. And so it, you know, took a little bit longer. And, you know, in the normal tour, you know, you get free valet parking. You know, there's a pre-tour reception, you know, where I believe they usually have like drinks and snacks. And then you stop at different cash bars throughout the night, and you also get like you know, Universal Express Unlimited to skip the regular lines following the tour, and you know, it's definitely something. You know, if you got the money and you're a big Horror Nights fan, it's definitely something I think you should try at least once.
It's. If you got the money, it's worth it. I completely agree. Is it cheap? No, but no. You know, the experience you get is worth every penny. Considering what the crowds are seeing this year, it's a great way to be able to experience everything, and you know, get the, you know, they really roll out the red carpet for you for this RIP tour. So, anyways, I'm gonna shoot. I have my list here. Instead of us going in, because I don't remember the order we went in on the RIP tour. It was such a blur at one point in the night.
You want to talk scare zones first?
Yeah, let's do that first. We'll talk scare zones, and we'll talk about Academy of Villains and go from there. So,
Yeah, let's sort of start. We'll go sort of go around the Harvest, which is in like Production Central between Shrek and Despicable Me. This zone every year is always hit or miss. We never sort of know if it's going to be. Sometimes it surprises us and it's really good. And I thought this year was definitely pretty good, because they just sort of, the last 2 years it's been sort of, you know, an introduction to the icons and to the, you know, some of the characters from the house, from the IP houses. This year they still have some sets that have like the different IP houses on them, but it's, you know, characters created just for this scare zone, because it's supposed to be like an old barn that holds the horrors from each house is basically the displays, and then there's these creatures who are some of them are, you know, basically moving hay bales, or they're like covered in burlap from, like, I guess from burlap sacks, and, you know, there's a couple of stilt walk, really cool looking stilt pumpkin stilt walkers, and I think it was definitely an improvement this year, especially over last year's scare zone.
Yeah, they definitely made that. They definitely improved on it this year with the Harvest. The characters are really cool design. I mean, some of them are simple, you know, ghillie suit costumes, which there were some people like, oh, they're all they are is ghillie suit people. But I think it's a huge improvement on what they've done in the past, like you said, with like last year's, where it was basically a photo op for the twins from The Shining.
And you also got you've got like a full set up with because you're supposed to be like walking through a barn, and it's like fencing covered with vines and hay, and
yeah,
parts of it stick out in different spots, so there's actually spots for the scare actors to hide. And so once it gets dark in there, it's actually, you know, they're actually able to actually get some scares going in there, which I feel like last year they just never could, because people, like, not just the twins, like all the people wanted to stop and take pictures with all the characters. So
yeah, no, definitely an improvement on next year. The stilt walkers are cool. The pumpkin stilt walker guys are really neat, as you mentioned. So yeah, great improvement upon last year's. I like it. Let's kind of stick with that next year.
Yeah, so we'll move over to Central Park, Twisted Tradition, which, you know, takes place in one of Halloween Horror Night's favorite locations, Cary, Ohio, and you know, it's like an ancient evil has been awakened, and there's a lot of like rotting pumpkin type creatures and like rotting creatures. But there's also some victims running around, because there's like these high school students that some of the characters are terrorizing. Especially the front of the scare zone actually goes out in front of Mel's this year, which is sort of different than usual sometimes with that scare zone, with that location of Central Park.
Yeah, years past they've kind of kept it like literally like right there where Central Park starts. But the last couple of days they threw that little church up. And that expanded the scare zone out into just past Mel's.
Yeah, I mean, in over two nights, they threw up this old rotted church with this rusted out old truck in front of it, and all these weeds growing everywhere and gravestones. I mean, and it is amazing, and it's mind blowing that they got that thing up in 2 nights. Overnight, and you know, that's sort of where your story begins, and then you travel through Central Park and through the township of Cary as things have gone wrong, and there's rotting pumpkins everywhere, and then up in the trees there's jack-o'-lanterns, which have come back again. You know, it's been something that's been used in Central Park multiple times. Obviously it was used again last year for trick-or-treat, so that's the only thing that sort of knocks it down for me a little bit this year is doing the pumpkins back to back. Last year it felt a lot more special, because they hadn't done something like that in a while.
Yeah.
This year it feels a little rehashed, because you even have some trick or treaters in this scare zone too. But it's a cool looking scare zone, and even. Yeah, we've lost a lot of trees in Central Park with the Cinematic Spectacular going in. But once it got dark, I don't think there wasn't as much of there wasn't really an issue with light bleeding in too badly. And you know, it was still got dark enough in spots where scare actors were able to sort of hide in the shadows and get people.
Yeah, no, it was. I was curious to see how that was going to pan out too after they built the stage and the viewing area for Cinematic Celebration, and it turns out that it really didn't have a whole lot of effect, the trees that they cut down for it, which was a good thing. But I like Twisted Tradition. You could put those pumpkins in the tree every year for Halloween Horror Nights, and I would love it.
It's always stunning.
Yeah,
taking video and pictures of stuff like that, and it's a good scare zone. It's, you know, I will say this, you know, we haven't got through all of them, but all the scare zones are good this year. Two of them are definitely, you know, I'd say three of them are really great.
Yeah,
but they're all good this year, and you know, of course. Near Twisted Tradition is Revenge of Chucky, and I mean, one of the interesting things, it's, you know, it's not using as much of Hollywood Boulevard as some of the past scare zones there have. It's sort of using about like half of that, I'd say almost like half of that section, because it's normally in the past the Hollywood Boulevard scare zones have sort of started right right after the Hello Kitty store and then basically gone almost all the way down to Mel's. But this year, they've sort of compacted it a little tighter in there, which I think works better because you got a lot more characters you have to go through, and a lot more. It's a lot tighter and more going on, and of course the big thing is Chucky is out there as a puppet. He's got his own stage because I guess it's all supposed to be sort of like a toy festival for the toy company that created Chucky, but obviously things have horribly gone wrong. And Chucky has indoctrinated, brought all these toys to life, and they've come and been brought to life in horrible incarnations. And he's gotten a lot of the members of the toy company to join his cult of Chucky.
Yeah, the I really haven't sat through and soaked in this scare zone yet, the Revenge of Chucky scare zone, but I've walked through it several times, and the characters are really cool designed. Some of the toys they have walking around are kind of, even some of them are toys from the 80s, like they have Gem, they have
Cabbage Patch
doll walking around.
I love the monkeys. I mean, that they did just sort of a disturbed, twisted version of the
Barrel of Monkeys.
Yeah, the Barrel of Monkeys. They've sort of done a little disturbed, twisted version of the Barrel of Monkeys. You got like toy soldiers and like I said, you know, there's a female Cabbage Patch Kid and there's a male Cabbage Patch Kid. You got like a sort of deformed baby giant baby doll walking around. And,
yeah, everybody was talking about him on Twitter.
there's also like an American Girl doll looking character walking around too. And you know, and then they got a couple of different little set pieces besides the stage with Chucky. There's also like a parody of the Easy Bake Oven, except something has gone very horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And then in the Barrel of Monkeys, there's a bunch of body parts. So, and then Chucky does his thing, and he's got a couple of different things he does. He does, you know, he usually is making fun of people, but then usually at some point he will try to induct you into the cult of Chucky. And then apparently there's also one of the characters walking around is the president of the toy company, and I believe also in certain sets they bring him up on the stage. There's an electric chair made out of Legos or what looks like Legos, and at some point they bring him up there and electrocute him to death. So
I saw that today on Twitter. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so I mean, there, you know, Chucky, you know, appears, reappears multiple times, you know, all throughout the night, it's a fun scare zone. I think I really liked it, and it's, you know, I've been able to do a little bit more time in it than you have, and it's really grown on me, and it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't been able to really kind of just sit there and soak it in. Every time I've gone through Chucky, I've walked through it. So I'll have to take a day here sometime coming up and just kind of sit back and take it all in. So
we're down to two, and these two are probably our personal favorites. So we're going to do Killer Clowns from Outer Space first, which still walking through there just blew my mind that we're walking through a Killer Clown scare zone. I mean, just like, you know, and this is something I saw, you know, back when I was a kid, younger, because it would play a lot on HBO or in other basic cable, because it was a B cult movie from the 80s, film from the 80s, and it was sort of stupid and funny and stuff. And this scare zone is freaking amazing. I mean, the clowns are huge, and just, you know, the whole color scheme, the neon colors that light up with the black lights, and just, I mean, and it's just fun. They do scare people sometimes. It is really more the fun scare zone.
Yeah,
but there are some people who are terrified of clowns, and they're so easy to spot because they are like freaking out the entire time they're walking through. So,
yeah, there's tons of people that are terrified of clowns, and you can definitely pick them out in the crowd walking through this scare zone. But the other people, like me and you, that absolutely love this scare zone, it's such a fun scare zone. Like you said, it is the fun scare zone, but there are some good scares in there. I absolutely love it. I could just hang out in there all day and just watch people, you know, interact with the clowns. And they have the balloon dog, and they have all the clowns from the movie in there. It's such a
yeah. Awesome. I mean, there's the clowns from the movie. There's some ice cream truck guys. There's one of the women being attacked by the clown snake thing. And they use the projection mapping. We haven't gotten to see everything that changes throughout the night with the projections. But apparently it does different things, like the shadow puppets show up on the wall, and you know, it's a fun scare zone. That's, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And you know, this was the first time they've used South Street along the water there for a scare zone, and it works there. It did opening night get scary crowded through there, but I feel like it was really well done, and just it's just fun. It's just fun to walk through.
Yeah, it's a great looking scare zone, especially at night. The scare zone isn't that scary. I mean, a lot of the stuff at Horror Nights isn't scary during the daytime. You know, kind of that 6:30, 7 o'clock time frame when the sun's still going down, and Killer Clowns is no exception. But once it's dark, and they kick on all the black lights and the bubbles and the fog, it's such a great scare zone. I love it. They did a phenomenal job with just the whole package. I love
it. And before we get to the final scare zone, we would definitely be remiss to not mention the chainsaws this year. They are actually in two different locations this year. Surprisingly, there is something in San Francisco. There are chainsaws out. From what I've found out so far, they aren't out all the time. At least the San Francisco, I haven't seen them out all the time. So I don't know if they just have one crew doing the chainsaws there, so they only come out during their set and then they're not. But they're sort of all dressed up as mechanics, which I guess sort of fits in with the whole Fast and Furious exit right there and with the cars and everything there. So that was interesting. But the main chainsaw scare zone in Springfield this year, they're sort of dressed up as like carnival clown, like carnies, like sort of carny or freak, carnival clown freaks. I think that's the scare actor I know. So they're out there. There's different lighting this year. It's a lot more strobey. So I think that might help a little bit better with them being able to get people. And it's chainsaws. It's always funny watching people get freaked out by chainsaws. So.
Yeah, it's the chainsaws are the classic, iconic tool of terror at Halloween Horror Nights. So it's always It's like the fog. You know, everybody loves the smell of the fog, but everybody loves to hear the sound of the chainsaws in Halloween Horror Nights. So,
and the interesting thing this year, there's no chainsaws in any of the other houses or scare zones. And so the only place you're going to get the chainsaws is out there walking through Simpsons or San Francisco, which I think I don't really recall. I'm trying to think of any other time there. It's been a while since the only time you've seen chainsaws is just at with the chainsaw crews.
Yeah. So all right, let's wrap it up here with
Vamp 85. It's a huge scare zone with a lot of scare actors out there. I mean, obviously it's on New York Street, which is always usually the biggest scare zone. And they don't even use all of New York Street this year. They're mainly just using the main thoroughfare where Revenge of Mummy, Finnegan's, you know, the Palace Theater is. But it's a wow scare zone because you've got multiple storylines going on. You've got a show that happens, you know, it's really two different shows that happen about every 15, 20 minutes. You know, it's a fun scare zone, but I really, really like it.
Some of the, you know, I last night when me and you were there for a couple hours filming all the scare zones and stuff, Vamp 85 was one of the ones that I spent the most time in because, you know, like you said, it's so big and we were filming. And so we kind of had to walk around and, you know, capture everything. And that made me extra time I spent in it last night made me fall in love with the scare zone. Just there's so much going on in that scare zone. You could just stand like I stood in front of the main, you know, the 1985 stage where the ball drop happens and everything. And just all the stuff that goes on there with all the different characters. You got, you know, you got the Michael Jackson, you got Prince, you got the news reporter. You have all these characters walking around doing their own little thing, and it's just, it's so fun to be a part of that and be in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a trip seeing, like, the news reporter and the cameraman, because, like she's completely the reporter's completely oblivious to what's going on, where the cameraman's got, like, a vampire next to him, like, sort of, like, stroking him and terrorizing him.
Yeah.
And you know, she's got victims coming up to her saying, oh, there's vampires, and she's, you know, just completely sort of blowing up. And that's the other thing, there's victims running through. But the vampires, there's so many. I've seen, you mentioned Michael Jackson, Prince inspired, a Madonna inspired vampire. I saw a Cyndi Lauper inspired vampire.
Yeah, I saw her.
There's a Tina Turner looking vampire. There's a Freddie Mercury looking vampire. And of course there's a bunch of punk rock looking vampires. And then there's a bunch of different victims, and there's like one dressed like Don Johnson from Miami Vice, and I mean,
yeah, I saw him.
It's so many different things, and then you can just, like you said, stop in a certain section of the scare zone, either by, you know, the 85 stage or by where the concert stage is, where something horribly went wrong, and you will sit there and watch a storyline occur.
Yeah.
Right there in front of you. It's much like Vamp 55. And I'm sure as the event goes along, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how, you know, with Vamp 55, it ended up being a lot of the scare actors sort of like created these backstories for their characters.
Yeah.
And it got like more elaborate as the event went on. So it's going to be interesting to see as the event goes on, you know,
what happens here.
What happens? It's going to be one of those scare zones, you know, which is something you and I and a lot of us big fans do, is we'll just plop ourselves in a scare zone for like 30 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
And just sit there and watch what's going on and just take it in. And I am definitely looking forward to spending a lot of time in Vamp 85 this year, much like I did with Vamp 55, and watch and just see the story play out and see all the different elements. And And like I said, it's really a toss-up between this and Killer Clowns. I mean, Killer Clowns is more of a sentimental, and it's just, I still can't believe we have this thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Vamp 85 is a continuation of something we were really impressed with before and is now back in a different form. And also, the freaking playlist is awesome. It's like, it's not only is it like some of the biggest hits from, obviously everything had to be before December 31st, 1984.
Yeah.
But it's got some of the more obscure stuff. I've 80s stuff in there too. So it's just, and like, we didn't even mention the Ball Drop show that they have,
which is great because they do Thriller and then they do two songs, right?
AC/DC Shoot the Thrill.
Yeah, and that's really cool when they get everybody, you know, all the vampires kind of congregate in front of the stage and then they run up on stage and they do a little dance segment as the ball's coming down. And then once, you know, they ring in, quote, midnight, the vampires go crazy and
go on a feeding frenzy
in the crowd, and it's a really cool thing to experience. So
yeah, I mean, they go through the crowd and they track down the different victim characters and attack them, and so it's really cool. And the interesting factoid we found out is many of the dancers, especially the female dancers that you see on the 1985 show, many of them are from Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
from last year's Bill and Ted. So it's like I said, we love scare zones that have stories in them, and we're big fans of that. And so we definitely enjoy it. And
speaking of shows, the one show at Halloween Horror Nights this year, which we did get to experience on Friday night, Academy of Villains Cyberpunk. I think this was a pleasant surprise, and I actually thoroughly enjoyed the show.
I mean, we knew that they were going to have to kick it up to another notch.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be a show where it's on the street, on that temporary stage that they would sometimes put in front of Mel's, that they've, over the years, they've put different shows there. And the last 2 years, Academy of Villains has had that. Last year's show, we didn't get to see the real show that they had planned, due to Hurricane Irma. So we basically sort of saw a show that they sort of threw together that it, I guess, had some of the elements of the show that they were going to have that year, but you know, that, you know, we'll never see what that show was supposed to be. But this year, someone on social media mentioned, this looked like something you would see in Vegas.
Yeah. It had a very Vegas-esque feel to it,
super high production values. I mean, and we've never seen a stage like this in Fear Factor because they literally built a giant stage in Fear Factor.
Yeah, you can't tell it's Fear Factor in any way, shape, or form when you're in there. So that was a really cool thing. The stage, the whole production was great. But you know, everything they do during this show, it's not just a 20-minute high energy dance show. They do all sorts of really cool stuff. Like the laser finger part thing was really cool, where they have like lights on their finger. They literally put like lasers on their fingers and they're dancing around, so these lasers are going all over the place. And then they had a tightrope act where these two guys came out on a tightrope and were jumping up and down on the tightrope, and just a really awesome show. I really enjoyed it, and you could tell that the crew, the Academy of Villains cast and crew, they're so passionate about this stuff. You could tell that they put their heart and soul into this thing.
Yeah, they took it up to another level. Them along with the HHN creative team, and really have put in a show that I think is going to be very popular, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. You know, maybe seeing it. We were lucky; we got to see the first show dead center.
Yeah,
and like you said, another thing about the stage is sections of the stage actually go up into the stands. So they are literally in at different times of the show, they're literally right in front of your face, really up close. And like I said, there's so many cool elements of the show. It's got a storyline to it, just like, you know, we had the, you know, the first year's show, but this one's a little bit more detailed. And it's an interactive show. They do the dance battle. They do a dance battle, and there's also parts of the, where the show, we won't give it away, that the crowd is supposed to interact. And it's a fun show, and like I said, and if you want to check it out, we do have it up on youtube.com/thrillgeek. And but it's a great show. I can't wait to see it again. They have really kicked it up a notch, and I think it's probably the most impressive show that's been ever created for Halloween Horror Nights, as far as like a staging design wise. It's this is
oh
like
easily
next level, like professional full blown production. So
yeah,
that's
I loved
the show for this year.
So that is that's it for scare zones and shows.
So back to houses, since we got to do the RIP tour, you know, we'd done Stranger Things, we went to the party, you know, we got to try, you know, some of the food and drink. Like I said, I liked the Christmas-like cupcake. Out of the two drinks this year, I liked the Rad Punch. I thought that was pretty good. The other one, okay, it wasn't my thing.
Yeah, me either. I'm not a Long Island iced tea person.
No, and but then we went on our RIP tour, and like we said before, the RIP tour is cool because your guide will, you know, before you do each house and scare zone, will give you some behind the scenes stuff about the creation of the house and different things you might see in the house. So, you know, we went straight from there, and then did
like I said, let's just shoot down a list because we're gonna be sitting here thinking about it. So
go ahead.
Let's start with Blumhouse.
Yeah.
Kind of start at the bottom here, as everybody can agree with.
Yeah, I mean, we're not ranking, but, you know, as you can just guess, that's sort of on our bottom of our list. This year, I will say all 10 houses, there's not, to me, much like last year, there's not a stinker house. There's not. You know, they've really, the last few years, upped the consistency level for all the houses overall. And as much as, yes, Blumhouse may be towards the bottom, I liked it. It was, I thought the Happy Death Day part worked better than the first Purge, because as we've said countless times before, the first the Purge works better as a scare zone.
Yeah.
Doesn't really work that great as a house.
Yeah. And that's pretty much where we, after, well, you 3 days, 3 nights, and me 2 nights of Halloween Horror Nights, with Blumhouse, the Happy Death Day part was decent. I think it could be improved and actually be really good. But for what it was when we went through it Friday night, the Happy Death Day part was good. The Purge part, just, you know,
it's the Purge.
Yeah. I love the Purge as a scare zone. Like last year, I loved the scare zone last year.
Yeah.
And I still can't find it working as a haunted house. It's just the tight quarters, the Purge, just, it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we had a Purge section last year's Blumhouse. It was really tiny. I mean, this year, there's definitely it was definitely more detail, definitely, you know, had some city-type sets going on. But, yeah, it was really, being a sprung tent, it was very tight, and it just, you know, it's I think somewhere out there, one day there's a way to do the Purge in a house that will work really well.
Yeah.
They just haven't figured it out yet. But it's, you know, Happy Death Day was fun. I mean, it was basically what we thought it was, where they tried to recreate some of the different kills from the movie. So it's, you know, it was good. Not great. So, let's move on to the next one.
Next will be, what do I got here? Carnival Graveyard.
Our first run through that, I was very impressed. It is a bit, even though it shares a sound stage with Scary Tales.
Yeah.
It's a big house, and part of it is because it twists in and out of itself. And there are spots where you go around the set from one side to the other, and
this is another house where the set pieces are insane. The areas of the house are ridiculous.
They jokingly said that they have pretty much emptied. They have, I think, a couple of different warehouses where they store a lot of stuff. They joked, but they were sort of truthful too. They emptied out their warehouse because there is so many things in this thing. And actually, especially if you get to go when it's still daylight out, if you do stay in Scream, and there's as usual with daytime, even on the soundstages houses, there's always some light bleed, so it's a little brighter in there.
Yeah.
There's so many things that if you're a Horror Nights fan, you will see from other houses. And apparently if you do the daytime Behind the Screams tour, they'll point out a lot of stuff that's been used in past Horror Nights. There's like some Jack stuff in there. But I like the house. I will say I went through it. This is one of the houses I got to go through a second time.
Yeah.
The second run through wasn't as good. It definitely dropped down. There was some elements that weren't working, and it just didn't. The first time I was really blown away, really liked it. Second time, not so much, and so we'll see. Like once we get to the end, we get to the end, where this will sort of fall for me. But I like it. It's all the original houses this year are amazing, and it's definitely a good one.
And we learned today that there's a Dueling Dragons sign in the house on Twitter.
Yeah,
somebody posted a picture of the Dueling Dragons sign. I was like, oh, that's cruel, Universal. That's cruel.
Yeah, well, it is a carnival. It is a graveyard.
It's a graveyard, so it's fitting.
Carnivals and rides from the past. So,
I liked it. Our run through on Friday night was really good, really strong. The actors are crazy in this house.
Oh yeah,
that was the other thing. The actors are really strong in it. They're really into their roles, the set, everything. So I'm curious to see how this one changes and progresses as the event goes on as well. So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, and the scare actors in it are really good. There's a few that I know that are in there, and they're like they're ones who've been in multiple years of Halloween Horror Nights now. So
they're
experienced. They know their stuff, and it's definitely, like I said, scare actors. It's just something the second time through didn't click as much with me, but. We'll see how this one evolves over the event, because that's always the great thing with this event is these houses evolve over the event. And unfortunately, sometimes we lose something, but sometimes we get something extra that after they go, because once they go through the opening weekend's almost like a test and adjust.
Mm-hmm.
They have their dress rehearsal with the team members, but then the opening weekend is like almost a test and adjust phase. And it's always interesting to see come second weekend, what's changed?
Yeah, because pretty much from tomorrow through what? It starts Wednesday this week, right?
Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday night.
So things will change. So, all right, moving on. Next, keeping with originals, Dead Exposure.
I really like Dead Exposure. I know some of out there on social media, it's been sort of mixed with this one. I love the original Dead Exposure, and I love houses that totally screw with your eyes, to mess with your irises.
Yeah,
and they're very smart with it, because they especially at nighttime, they hit you with a bunch of bright lights before you go in that house, which is as usual is a sneaky little way.
When you're walking up the ramp to get into the house, there's like these bright white lights like blinding you, so by the time you get into the house, your vision's all jacked up.
And then they pull every visual light using trick out of the box in this house, from raising the lights up to dropping them down, and that I love that stuff, because it'll be bright, and all of a sudden the light will go down, and it'll come back up, and there's literally like a scare actor right in front of your face.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite parts from the house was the, I think it was like a subway you walk through.
You're walking a subway car.
That scene really impressed me.
Yeah,
was,
and you see it in the way the lights were they flashing. It looks like the zombies are coming towards you, and then another then a scare actor comes out from the other direction.
Yeah, that part really stuck out for me. So, really cool house, lots of cool effects.
Yeah, and it evolves as it goes along. You go through the different things. I think at some point you're in the catacombs underneath Paris. And then you get to that last part, and that's when they just bombard you with strobes and bright-ass lights and just really...
Everything comes at you all at once.
Yeah, and then everything comes at you, and it's I really liked it. It's definitely... I can't wait. We unfortunately didn't get to do this a second time yet, and I can't wait to do this one again.
Yeah, a lot of the houses, you know, like you said, they actually allowed the media to film in all the houses. So I was worried about filming in all these houses. So a lot of the experiences I did on Friday night during the RIP tour, I missed some stuff because I was so focused on filming that I really didn't get to experience the house, a lot of these houses, to their fullest. So I'm anxious to go back and redo them all. So moving on. Next, we got Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers. So,
you know, I mean, this is another one that's been up or down on social media as far as, like, some people are just like, wow, it's awesome. And for us, and we've only gotten to do it once, and I don't know if it's because it was the end of the night, it was the last house we did after doing eight houses in a row, and I love the previous two Halloween houses. This one obviously is a lesser movie. You know, it's not that great of a film. But I enjoyed it. Was it my favorite? No. There's a lot of Michael Myers in this one. I mean, there's always a lot of Michael Myers, but more so than the other ones, I felt like there was a lot of Michael Myers, and they redo some of the gags that have been used in the previous two houses too.
Yeah, you know, this one was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow because, like you said, the previous Halloween houses have been amazing. But I think the Halloween house, the Halloween 4, I think it suffers from lack of content. Whereas years past, the Halloween houses that they've done have been based on really great films, and Halloween 4 is not the best in the series, at least the old original Halloween films. So the scares are there. I think if this house is tweaked and tuned a little bit better, there were so many Michael Myers coming out at me at one point, I didn't know what was going on. I think at one point towards the end of the house, I had like three or four Michael Myers like jumping out at me.
Yeah, I feel like that may be the one issue with this house is that this one is another, and this usually happens with a couple of houses. It's timing is everything, and if you don't hit the scares at a certain time, then it totally doesn't work. And it's good. I mean, but like you said, it's based on a Halloween movie that's not that great. I can see why they wanted to have a Halloween house this year with the hype of the new Halloween movie going in. And also it ties into the 80s theme too. So,
yeah.
So,
but I hope it's tweaked and, you know, the scare actors in there get on a better, get more streamlined because it seemed like some of the Michael Myers were kind of all over the place, and I think that's where it kind of threw me off. But if they get that streamlined, I think it'll be a little bit more enjoyable. At one point, I had no idea what was going on in that house because, like I said, I literally looked and I was counting Michael Myers, and if I have to count how many Michael Myers are out, it's like, what's going on? So, yeah, definitely not my favorite, but with that said, I think the house can be tweaked and tuned to be an enjoyable house. And like you said at the beginning, none of these houses this year are bad. And it's the first weekend, so we have lots more time for these houses to get more streamlined and tuned. And you know, I hope this is one of them that really improves over time, because I want to enjoy it. I love Halloween. I love Michael Myers, but right now this house just didn't do it for me. Next up we got Poltergeist.
I'm going to, I almost wish we would do this one last, but this, after getting to go through it a second time today, as well as earlier today, for the final day of opening weekend, I feel like that Poltergeist may be one of the best IP houses they've ever created.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I went back and because again, we were filming on Friday. I don't remember a lot of things from this house, but I've gone back and I've watched a lot of the other media outlets that were there that night, and I watched their videos and I rewatched our footage. And that house is incredible. The puppets in that house are unbelievable. The sets, the entry point when you first walk in and you're starting in the pool, looking up at the house,
it's storming and raining.
You get soaked.
Yeah.
You get soaked.
I'm not looking forward to going through that once, if we finally have a cold night this year. Looking forward to walking through that. But with these hot days and nights so far, it actually felt very good to get doused as I'm. Yeah, but, I mean, just the idea, when we first heard that, you were going to start basically at the end of the movie, and you were going to start in the pool, and you're going to be looking up at the house, and it's going to be storming around you. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. And then we got to experience, and it was amazing. And then you're walking through the graveyard where all the bodies had been buried, and they're jumping out at you.
Yep.
And then you finally make your way into the house, and they do some of the iconic moments from the movie, and you make your way through the kitchen, and then you get to Carol Ann, with her hands up against the TV, going there here, and then that's where they get imaginative, where they go do more interpreting some of the things that happened in the movie, and the fact you go into the light at one point, and you're actually walking into the light, and then you're walking through this bright white tunnel that these creatures are jumping out at you too. These, I guess, supposed to be like specters or ghosts. But the giant puppets, and then the evil clown that comes to life. There's a whole section of that where it's like,
I think that surprised me. The clown part,
its legs and pieces are like going all around you and stuff. And
yeah,
it's hands down. Like I said, I've been going 13 years. You've been going longer. It is one of the best executed IP houses I have ever seen them do. And they've talked about this has been one of their white whales. This is something they have wanted for years and years to get their hands on. And, man, they have just completely knocked it out of the park. And I really cannot – just after going two times, it's one of the best IP houses I've ever experienced.
Oh, I agree, and I can't wait to go back through it. Just from what I remember when we went through it Friday night, and the everything blew me away about that house. The set pieces, the puppets of some of the poltergeists, I guess you could call them, the ghosts, the apparitions, just
everything, whatever
spirits, whatever you want to call them. No matter what they're called, that house is easily up there as one of the best houses, not only IP house of all time, but one of the best houses at Horror Nights this year. And again, it's up there by Stranger Things, so the wait for this one gets pretty long too, but it's worth it.
Yeah, this is one that's part of the Stay and Scream, and I would definitely recommend, if you're not going to do Stranger Things, do that. And actually, the interesting thing is they have like a separate queue for Poltergeist and a separate queue for Stranger Things, But you can wait in the Stranger Things queue, which gets released first, and go straight into Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Which is what we did, which was what we did this on Sunday. We waited in the Stranger Things queue and then just ducked right in the Poltergeist one. And we had to wait for it to open for a few minutes, but we were like way ahead of everybody else who was in the Poltergeist queue. So, I mean, it's definitely like we said, if you're doing Stay and Scream and you're doing the Finnegan Stay and Scream and you're not doing Stranger Things, you can definitely knock out Poltergeist, Carnival Graveyard, and Scary Tales, like pretty much all bang, bang, bang. So,
yeah. All right. Moving on. Next, we have Scary Tales.
Well, yeah.
Deadly Ever After.
Might as well mention Scary Tales.
Yeah. Wrap up these ones up front here.
This is another one that I've been through twice. You've only been through once. The facade, the entrance to this house is amazing.
Yeah. I think it's one of the better facades that they've done, because it actually, you don't see, I mean, occasionally you do, but, excuse me, this facade actually includes a character as, like, the main center point of the facade.
Yeah, I mean, last year with Dead Waters, you had this amazing riverboat facade, but it didn't do anything.
It didn't do anything. It was just stagnant, you know. And this
this year, you know, you've got the Wicked Witch. It's the Wicked Witch of West, and you know, part of the storyline is, you know, she's gone through the different fairy tales and basically twisted the characters and turned them evil or twisted or tortured them, and she's up there on what's, I'm assuming, is supposed to be her castle, and this thing's like almost, I'd say, like three. Parts of it are three stories tall.
Oh yeah, it's huge.
And you know, she's with her cauldrons there, and you know, she says different things. And I think there's a couple of different things she says, but then she goes flying over you as you're walking, as you're walking by, and you look above, and she goes flying over you, at different points. And I mean, that just starts that house so well, and the house is...
It's a good kickoff for the house.
Yeah, and you go through the different scenes with you know, horrible thing. Yeah, it's like starts with the Wizard of Oz, and you see Dorothy chained up, and then the I guess no longer cowardly lion attacks you, and
yeah,
you know, and I saw there's that, there's Hansel and Gretel are in it, and I don't think it was going, Rapunzel's in it. The Humpty Dumpty part, which I didn't smell anything. And I've been through twice. I did when we went through, I don't recall the first time, but today when we went through Hansel and Gretel, you smelled a cinnamon sugar scent.
I smelled that when we went through it on Friday.
Okay, so because you're going through a candy house, even though now they've become like cannibals.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hansel and Gretel have become cannibals too.
Yeah, no, so, I smelt that on Friday when we were going through it.
So. Yeah, and the cool thing, you got Goldilocks and Three Bears, so the HHN bear makes his return appearance again.
Yeah, at the very end of the house, which...
Yeah. Yeah, at the very end, and he is definitely if he's every so often he catches somebody and scares the crap out of them.
We have good friends over at the Expansion Drive podcast, and Dee Dee, one of the co-hosts on that show, got the daylight scared out of him. So HHN Bear is back in Scary Tales, so be on the lookout for him.
Yeah, and this is another one where the set design is just amazing. I mean, there's so much. Especially the second time going through, and there's so much detail in this house that I mean, I got to do a little bit more looking around this time, and just the set designs are so detailed, and there was things I picked up that I didn't notice Little Miss Muffet, you know, in one section, and so it's I really liked it. It's
another solid original. All the originals this year are just I think this is the hardest thing I'm having this year is placing the originals because all the originals are so good this year. It's hard to rank them because everyone has been so fantastic. And speaking of which, we're gonna go through we're gonna talk about Seeds of Extinction now.
This is one that hasn't really connected with me the way it has a lot of other people. And I don't know why, because design-wise, it's pretty freaking amazing. And it's huge. It's a big house.
It is, and it's really tight quarters, too. There's some parts in that house that are really tiny.
Yeah, it's very tight quarters. You know, we've had that the last 2 years with Scarecrow and Tomb of Ancients the year before that. And this is in a new location. It's in the new parade building, which hasn't been used before. So it's there was an apocalypse and all human life has gone away and plants have sort of come to life and just sort of engulfed everything. And you're walking through a mall and, different plants come to life and attack you. And I don't know if it's just, I mean, it's a dark maze. It's a tight, close quarters maze. The set design is amazing. There's so much vegetation and things, and there's tons of Easter eggs because you're going through different stores in the mall. But it's, I don't know if it's because of the fact, all the characters are camouflaged, but none of them really shocked me because I know this is coming, you and I are hardcore fans. I could almost guess exactly where they were going to come from every single time.
Yeah, and I noticed that, like I told you yesterday when we went through it during Passholder early entry. When we went through it on Friday night, it underwhelmed me on Friday night. But then again, when we were there yesterday on Saturday, there was nobody in line. It was literally walk-on. So me and Barry, we kind of took our time and we were able to go through the house a little bit slower, which I think is unfortunately, that's not going to happen very often. But we went through it and we kind of kept the people in front of us, maybe a good 6, 8, 10 feet in front of us. And that actually provided from what I thought was a little bit better of an experience in the house. But I can sort of agree with you in what you mentioned about some of the scare actors. You can kind of point out where they are just by kind of what they're wearing and so forth and so on. But I think that house has a lot of potential. Again, this is another one that I think once the actors start learning their role better and they become a little, hopefully they can hide a little bit better, and which is kind of weird sounding because it's a camp. All the scare actors in this house are based upon camouflage. So you think you wouldn't be able to see them, but for some weird reason, it makes it easier to see them. It's kind of hard to explain, but I do agree with you that a lot of the scare actors in that house are easier to see.
Yeah, no, and I love the design of the house. I love all the detail that went into this house. As of right now, it's not clicking with me yet. We'll see as the event evolves whether it really starts, I really moves up as far as like houses go.
Yeah. All right, here. We're going to go to, let's keep right next door and go to Slaughter Cinema.
Yeah. I will start by saying this to me. In the time I've been going to Halloween Horror Nights is one of the most creative original houses I've ever seen. I mean, to come up with the idea, okay, we're going to do a drive-in, we're going to do B-movies, but we're going to create a movie for each specific scene in this house.
Yeah.
Is just, and the execution is just brilliant. I mean, it's every year, we wonder if they're going to, we hope we're going to see something that we've never seen before, and this is something I've never seen before, where you've literally, you go in through the concession stand at the drive-through, and they drive in, and then you hit a movie poster, and then you also hear a movie trailer guy sort of giving you like a description of the movie, and then boom, you go into the scene and it's a scene from the movie.
Yeah.
And then it repeats over and over and over again, and each movie is distinctly different from the other one.
And it's surprising, it sounds simple, but it surprisingly it works. You know, the whole transition, you know, movie poster, and then you go into the scene, movie poster, you go into the scene. It sounds repetitive, but it works so well with this house.
I can't recall out of any house, like any event I've gone to, I've ever seen anything like done like this before.
No,
I mean, we've seen the whole like movie drive-in thing done before, but that was just over one specific thing. But to have the different to create, they basically created these spitballed all these different movie ideas, and sometimes they created the poster first. And then went from there, and it's just so much creativity into this house. And
yeah, that's the other thing too, is a lot of these movies are so creative and so the B-80s movies, just they're so hilariously awesome. And
yeah,
just,
what was it Schitt's Kids or Schmidt's
I know what you're talking about, the oh, that's gonna bother. That's gonna bug me. But anyways, I can't remember. But no, I know what you're talking about.
Did they not? No, they of course didn't. I don't think they listed it.
No, they didn't list that. That was the other thing. They didn't list every movie in the initial press release for this house.
That one was hilarious. I mean, not only was that one was like there was even some funny things thrown in, and that one was like just hilarious. With the kid attacking the mascot in the costume.
Yeah, it's like a Chuck E. Cheese.
And then they got some people, because you come around the corner out of that scene, you think the scene is done, and then like a drop scare happens, and then one of the kids is like screaming at you.
Yeah. Whole scene was great.
Yeah, I mean, just so many fun, different, inventive scenes in this house. And like I said, I feel like it's one of the most creative houses I've ever experienced at this event.
Yeah. All right. Wrapping up here, we talked about Stranger Things. Trick or Treat. That will be our last one. Yeah, Trick or Treat.
Both of us have gotten to go through this twice. I will say my feelings about this house went up the second time through. Part of it is because that was the second to last house we did that night.
Yeah.
And so we were, you know, those last few houses we did that opening night on that RIP tour, we were sort of fried by then.
Yeah.
And so I feel like after when we walked out Friday night, we were sort of like, oh, it was good. I mean, it's Trick or Treat. We love Trick or Treat, and the sets were really good. I feel like once we went through a second time and we were rested and it was the beginning of the day, the evening on Saturday.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot better.
I did too. I agree with you. 'Cause like you said, by the sixth or seventh house, we were just out of it and I couldn't absorb any more of the details on Friday night. 'Cause we were exhausted. Yeah, it was fun, but man, it was that RIP tour doing all 10 houses just killed us. But no, I completely agree. When we went back through Trick or Treat yesterday during the, because it was still kind of early when we were doing the pass holder early entry. Because I'm a huge fan of Trick or Treat the movie, and the second time through the house actually, it gave me the feeling that they're doing the movie justice this time. The first time, like I said, we were tired. I was like, yeah, that was cool. It's Trick or Treat. You know, maybe I was just suffering from them doing Trick or Treat last year in the scare zone. But no, I enjoyed it a lot more when we went through it Saturday night. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, no, I really liked the set pieces they did in there, and really a couple of inventive scares. I really liked how they did the kids on the school bus. That was really neat. When you go through the first part and you can see them on the bus And then, you know, some of them come out at you at different points. And then you get to the part where the bus is, like, going into the water. And it's, like, it's sort of like a freeze frame of that moment from the movie.
I think that whole last scene is really impressive with the bus. And then you go into the slate quarry area and experience that whole scene. And it's done really well.
Yeah. And of course, Sam pops up at different points. Sometimes he's there to scare, and sometimes, just like in the movie, he's just sort of watching what's going on.
Yeah. So I was happy the second time we went through it. It reassured me that this house actually isn't as bad as we thought it was going to be. It wasn't bad. It was just that we were exhausted. I can't wait to go through it again to, you know, take even more of it in. So, there were a lot of people saying, you know, we got trick or treat last year as a scare zone, so it was too soon to do trick or treat again. Is it? Maybe. You know, sometimes, you know, usually when Universal uses an IP, they won't use it again for at least a couple years, with the exception of The Purge
usually it's
The Walking Dead.
Yeah, usually normally it's at least 2 years in between with IPs. It's, you know.
So,
but I believe that is it.
Yeah, we plowed through it here, and we got everything talked about. So we went, what, hour and a half almost?
Whew. Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we decided not to rank. We'll wait till once the event is over, we'll do a look back at the event, and maybe then we'll sort of come up with our top 10, because I think things evolve. Right now, I mean, there's probably three houses that I could say were my number one. This year, top to bottom, and considering that they added another house again this year to 10, it's one of the most impressive lineups I've ever experienced, just based on opening weekend so far. Not in the houses and the scare zones are top to bottom. I mean, they've really created, I think I put it on what I could say on Twitter, they've created a beast this year that is just huge, and everything is good. I mean, everything is at minimum good. And goes up from there to great to one of the best things I've ever seen at the event. So
yeah, I actually ran into Mike Aiello last night in the Killer Clowns scare zone. He was hanging out there, and you know, I just told him, I was like, the event, not only everything that you just said is true, the beast that they've created this year with HHN 28, but the feeling of the event. The event has such a good feeling this year. Like, just the vibe is something I haven't experienced from Halloween Horror Nights in such a long time. And it was great to have that feeling back. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. But the event just has such a different feel than at least the last couple years. And it's a good feeling. So I praised him on that, and I told him, you know, give my thanks to your team. And I'm excited for many more nights at HHN 28, which we will be experiencing. So stay tuned.
Yeah, we will as of right now on YouTube and on our YouTube channel, we have multiple scare zones. And the new thing this year, we have multiple highlights of different houses, and we will eventually have all 10 highlights from all 10 houses on our YouTube channel, every single scare zone on our YouTube channel. We shot, I think between both of us, we shot almost 3 hours worth of footage Friday night that probably. Somehow I am going to knock that down into a video of our opening night experience on the RIP tour in the houses. So hopefully I will get that done sometime this week. But we still, like I said, we will have every house, highlights of every house, and highlights of every scare zone up on the YouTube channel. Already got a bunch up right now, and we will have even more coming this week. And We will be back at Halloween Horror Nights, different nights this week, throughout the event. You know, it's our, both Clint and I, it is our favorite thing. It is our favorite time of year here in Orlando. And, so, you know, we ran into tons of people this weekend, you know, and we look forward to running into even more people, throughout the event, and we will be there and, you know, posting on social media, doing it. We've already done multiple live streams on Facebook,
yeah,
and Instagram, and we will be all over this event, and we'll also be getting down, now that we've gotten through opening weekend, we're gonna start going through and trying some of the different drinks and snacks, and sort of bringing that to you guys too, what we think of some of that, because they've really upped the amount of food and food they have this year.
Waffles.
More so, yes, so many different kinds of waffles and different items this year. So we're gonna, you know, one of the things we did try, the other thing we tried is you bought the there's a Frequent Fear cup for the Coke Freestyle this year, which is new.
Yeah, you pay, like, give or take, it's like $30 rounded up. And if you're a Frequent Fear pass holder at Mel's and Richter's for $30, they give you a souvenir cup, which, by the way, is a pretty cool cup in itself. And you pay the $30 and you get free refills the entire event as long as you're a Frequent Fear pass holder. So, you know, I'm not a huge soda drinker, but, you know, I occasionally like a cold soda. So I got it. I'll bring it with me probably every night I'm there. You know, just walk up to the Freestyle machine and fill her up. And they also have some exclusive HHN flavors in the Coke Freestyle machines for Halloween Horror Nights. So, so maybe we'll talk about that next time and, you know, try some food and, you know, explore HHN 28 some more. So
I believe that is it,
yeah,
for this week's podcast. We are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/Thrill Geek. Be sure to like and follow our Facebook page. It's where we do most of our live streams from. And of course, we are youtube.com/Thrill Geek, where we will have multiple, we've already got multiple scare houses, multiple house highlights up on our channel, and even more coming this week. And like I said, we're going to have a vlog of our opening night experience at Halloween Horror Nights 28. And of course, for the latest in theme park and pop culture news, visit thrillgeek.com. And of course, you're listening to the Thrill Geek podcast, available everywhere on iTunes, Google Play, anywhere you can get a podcast, you can listen to the Thrill Geek podcast.
Yes, sir. All right, guys, we're out of here. Until next time, we will see you guys on the flip side.
See you in the parks.